spiritually aware.
That's how you described it, dear?
Yes. I wish all God's creatures were spiritually aware. There are many who are psychically aware, but it is not quite the same thing as being spiritually aware, spiritually conscious, spiritually desirous of being of service to humanity, to bring into your world a new realization of God's will, God's love, God's plan for his children, that they may live and dwell in loving harmony and in peace together, creating a world which will truly be a world of the spirit, a world in which man may evolve and develop himself to a higher realization of the things that are, of the life that is, the life to come. There are many in your world who are psychically conscious, psychically aware, who in their own fashion and way endeavor and succeed in helping and achieving a great deal, but on a level of consciousness which is not so far removed from earth, and therefore though beneficial in a material sense, has little value in a spiritual one. And the strange thing is that oftentimes those who are psychically gifted, psychically conscious and aware, are the ones who quite often receive the most praise, and indeed gather to themselves the most publicity.
It'll be my ambition.
But nevertheless, child, service is done, rendered, and people are helped and oftentimes comforted. And we are grateful for all those who serve, even those who may serve on a level not so far removed from material things. All whose intent and purpose is to be of service, to help the less fortunate, to bring some truth and enlightenment, and to comfort those who mourn. All this is part of the work of spirit. But nevertheless, we are oftentimes distressed when we see so much neglect in regard to the things which are of the spirit in the highest sense. There are very few in your world mediums who are used in the manner and in the way in which we so much would like them to serve and to of help to uplift man far beyond the confines of the flesh, to enlighten and instruct spiritually the children of earth. And yet, as you know, there are innumerable souls from our side of life who are patiently awaiting the opportunity to come to speak, make the voice of the Spirit heard in the darkness of your world and shed a light on the path, that others may find that path and progress accordingly. We are ever anxious to serve.
I suppose, Brother John, though the overall picture presented by press and television and all this is gloom, there is a lot of good, isn't there? The other side of the shield is there.
Yes, this is true. It arouses interest. It makes people begin, perhaps, to probe and to find for themselves. But what we find so often is the fact that very rarely do people, no matter how comforted and helped they may have been, seldom go beyond the confines of material thought. They very rarely seek in a higher mental and spiritual sense. They are content to receive their evidence, to receive their comfort, to attend a meeting here and there, to listen to a speaker, and receive, if possible, a message.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be little practical use of times put to the truths that we give and preach. So often it seems that many make little or no attempt to uplift themselves, to open up their own consciousness to higher thought, higher teaching. There are many great souls, many great teachers who come from this side with the idea and the object of being of service, looking for suitable instruments through whom they can give the word of spirit and of truth. And there are so few instruments that are to be found. And there are so many in your world who are content to keep the instruments they use on a lower level, so that they shall continue to receive the mundane and the material in consequence.
Yes.
This is, in our way of thinking, rather disheartening.
I'm sure it is.
I believe that the great strength of spiritualism, as it is termed, is to be found in the home, in the small circle of souls gathered together in loving harmony, in brotherhood, in the desire for the opening of the vision of the spirit, that the development that may take place shall be used at a later time in a more vivid way, in a more public sense. But the home circle, as it is termed, is the cradle in which we are enabled to bring up, as it were, the might of awareness, that it may blossom forth into full fruition and go forth at a later time, spreading the gospel and the truth of life eternal, giving knowledge and experience, and above all the message of the higher spheres, of those guides and helpers, having evolved and developed their instruments under the right condition in that nursery in which we can indeed utilize the powers and the gifts of the children of earth and bring them forth, ready to go out into the world to spread the truth of the gospel of life eternal, of the joys that lie ahead for man, that he might aspire within himself to reach higher and higher, and in so doing change the course of man's destiny upon earth, bringing a new peace and a new understanding among men, breaking down the barriers that separate men one from the other, whether they be barriers of religion and prejudice, or of politic, or national spirit or pride. We come to break down the barriers that stand between men, that they might truly come together in loving harmony and see for themselves the reality of the power of spirit, when it is blessed with unity and harmony and love. We have great possibilities in that which we do.
Have you got hopes?
Always we have hope.
Yes.
For without hope there is no progress.
No. Only I feel that, I suppose I'm an incurable optimist, but I feel there's so much good that never gets seen in people's lives throughout the world.
Of course this is true. If it were not so, what faith, what hope could we have for humanity if it were not so that in even the worst there are some redeeming features?
Yeah.
They may not know of the truth of the spirit. They may not know of communion between your world and ours. They may not know of many aspects which, if only they understood and realized, could change them in a flash.
Mm.
As it were, the power of the spirit suddenly overcame them, and they became, in consequence, highly illumined men and women of spiritual stature and dignity and truth, in consequence. But the point is, my child, that this little spark that is in all humanity must be fanned into a flame, must be encouraged and made clear and bright, whereas it is now so oft-times obscured and darkened. It is indeed only a flicker in the darkness of the individual and in the world in which the individual has his or her life, but the point is, my child, that we know only too well of the problems and the difficulties that man must contend with. We know the circumstances of times in which he finds himself. These in themselves make problems and make life more hard to bear, more difficult to break away and unshackle oneself and free the spirit in consequence. But nevertheless, we have great hopes. There are none that have sunk so low that cannot be raised on high. We always must have faith, my child, but we need souls who will go out into the highways and the byways, as Jesus himself said, that there shall be the message of the Spirit taken, and that all who listen to that message shall in due course of time change accordingly. The light shall become a light that will lighten the path of many who dwell in darkness. You have been given a gift, indeed various gifts. As St. Paul has said, there are divers gifts. You have been blessed inasmuch that to some extent they have been developed. We have been behind you in this and shall so continue. We shall guide your footsteps and you shall truly lighten the path of many and unload of times the burden that may be carried by those in your world who are really heavy laden. By giving them the instruction, by giving them the enlightenment, by giving them the truth of spirit, they shall have greater strength to continue that path of earth until such time as they are released from material things and find truths in great quantity.
Thank you. Can I ask you something?
Yes, child.
Monday, not yesterday, the day before, I had a very extraordinary experience. I felt that you were walking with me, or you were with me while I walked along the road, and I came across a lovely view of a pink chestnut framed in other trees, and it was out of this world, and I felt momentarily lifted up as if you had done it. And well, I had lovely words come.
That may be as you say, but I do not take the credit for the beauties of nature.
No,
but I attracted your attention in a certain direction in which you should perceive the joys and the beauties all around and about you. Sometimes it is strange how man can walk through life and not see that which is so close while he is searching for something further afield. You have been so blessed, my child, and from nature itself you draw much that is good. It sustains, it helps, it builds. It strengthens and gives joy to the spirit.
I just wanted to confirm.
Yes, child. I was with you.
Thank you. And now another thing, if I may ask.
Yes.
How are you coping with all the people coming over from Peru?
This is not a difficult question to answer. Indeed, it is the most natural thing that you should ask. Of course, I'm told thousands of souls on this side are flocking and have been for the last few days to that place where such tragedy has come upon the peoples. They are being lifted out of the darkness into the light. There are those, of course, who through shock and unexpected tragedy such as this have been in some measure mentally, temporarily affected, but this will soon be calmed. They are given a tranquilizing condition of life, a resting period in which they gradually reawaken into the realm of spirit and seeing with clarity the new life that stretches before them, comforted and helped by innumerable souls, sometimes those who are near and close to them, people of their own family, and of course many guides, many great souls, whose task it is to organize on such occasions vast bands who go forth to uplift and to help and to comfort those who have so suddenly been thrust out of the body into the spirit. They are cared for, my child.
Yes, thank you.
Then no one at any moment of time leaves your world, no matter what the condition of their passing. without at least one person being present to assist them, to help them. Of course, there are those, some, who do not have full awareness immediately of their new life. There are some who, as you would say, shall sleep, or at least are not conscious of that which has taken place. It has been a sudden passing with no warning, such as an accident. Then quite often there is a short period of unconsciousness, of being unaware, often of what has happened to them, but they gradually reawaken into a new life, surrounded by loving souls who are there to receive them and to help them and to comfort them and to put them, as it were, in touch with their new circumstance and condition in a harmonious and easy way that they can adjust very quickly and happily and naturally.
Law and order.
Everything here is law and order. And yet one, in a sense, is hardly conscious of the order or the law. This may sound odd or strange. What I'm trying to say here is that though we are ruled, in a sense, we are not conscious of the ruling, inasmuch that there is no one person who orders or instructs in that sense, but there are loving hands to welcome one, and loving thoughts to comfort one, and there are many souls who organize, and yet the organization is such it seems the most natural thing to follow it out, to experience that which is presented for you to experience. There is nothing here that mars or jars. Everything falls gently, peacefully, harmoniously into place. It is as if you begin to see gradually the jigsaw puzzle of experience and life coming into a clear picture. There is no problem in a sense. And if there is a problem, it is a problem within one's innermost self, because there must be, obviously, in the initial stages, a wrestling, if you like, within oneself at first, the realization of many things undone, things that one might have done that would have bettered not only oneself, but perhaps those whom one loves that may still yet be on earth. Obviously, there are within one's innermost self discussions, if you like, uncertainties, unsettlements, but these are gradually changed, and one sees with a clearer vision, and one has learned to some extent through one's mistakes, though sometimes one feels very conscious that one might have done this or that or so much more. Man is always, in a sense, I suppose, is to be expected full of regrets, that you cannot enter into a more perfect world such as this without having some regrets of the past. And yet at the same time, opportunity can and often is given to often right wrongs, to enter into perhaps some temporary arrangement whereby you can return and perhaps effect some change or make some amends in the lives of those whom you love still on earth. But these are many things which will take long time to depict or describe, which in themselves are peculiar indeed to the individual, for what applies to one does not necessarily apply to another.
No.
Lot depends on the individual himself as to his reactions and as to what progress he may make, or indeed what amends he may be able to make in regard to things appertaining to his material life and the peoples that he may have wronged or perhaps in some way affected. No one, I suppose, really can leave behind your world and enter this without having some regrets, some feelings perhaps of frustration, feelings of perhaps not having achieved in some fashion or other, or perhaps not having done often what one knows within one's innermost soul one should have done. You see, these are experiences peculiar to the individual, and what may affect one does not necessarily affect another, but all gradually find their own level of consciousness here, and their own level of conditioning, and also their own happiness in consequence. Everything is as state of being and evolving from one condition or grade of sphere of activity to another, for every soul there eventually comes, for the time being at least, a condition of tranquility, of harmony, and of peace. But as one progresses, as one's experience and one's horizon becomes more wide and clear, so one changes. There are all sorts of subtle changes happening within oneself, and all the opportunities that are presented to one, the new ways in which one may open up one's horizon, one's experience. All life, by its very nature, is change. Though there are, as I've said, tranquility and peaceful conditions, which all find sooner or later, yet nevertheless, because life is by its very nature movement, all that lives vibrates, and this very vibration itself means that there are greater vistas to be brought into view, greater knowledge to be gained, greater experience to be experienced, new friends, new peoples to meet, to be contacted, new experiences to be gained which will set one's feet on a path of eternal progression, going from sphere to sphere, from stage to stage, from being to being, higher and higher, evolving, until one becomes so far removed from the old self, from the old way of life, that it is almost impossible to recognize. But do not think for a moment that I suggest by this that one loses one's identity, for one merely, as it were, expands one's consciousness and in consequence becomes a more full, a more rounded, if you like, being, with a greater knowledge and a greater experience and a greater oneness and a greater tuning in, as it were, with the infinite. All life is change, but it is always a change for something a little better, a little more progressed. No one need fear death. It is a great adventure, a great leveller in a sense also, for here we see ourselves, no doubt, for the first time as we really are, and we see those around and about us, those whom we've known in the past and loved and who greet us when we arrive. They come to us with a fullness of experience and spirit and love, and we take from them and they give to us, and we become truly one in spirit and in truth, and great is the joy of reunion. No one needs to fear that which the world calls death. Now, my child, I must depart, but I leave you with my love and blessings, and all who hear my voice and the voice of the Spirit, may it ever encompass you, uplift you, guide, guard, and protect you and inspire you, and may you ever strive within yourself to become truly a child of light. Bless you, my friend.
God bless you, dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mickey. God bless you, too.